So is there any way we can bring that headshot of Argus in here?
I don't see why not. Why?
Just so we can look at it.
Looking to take your dick out. Hey, Argus, take this.
Listen, I would excuse Argus if it was the 70s and he had just done a pile of coke. You know what I mean?
That's the only excuse, do you think? Like,
look, if you told me it was the 70s, everybody was naked, we were having an orgy, and then there was, and he was like, and then there was a dick in my face, I'd be like, yeah.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
I guess, but this is like, Luis Gomez went to that show knowing that he was about to suck a dick.
Okay, what do we have any idea what the bet was?
I bet you if we did some research, we could find out. And the only reason...
I could text Robert. Oh, wait, it's too late, though. No, I was like, wait.
You can text him right now. He's still getting texts.
He's still getting
people
blown.
People are still... texting him.
Do you think his wife is talking to him in
that's
any
another
way,
thing.
Shape, or form?
Like, doesn't Luis Gomez have a kid?
Yes, so does Robert.
And that kid has learned a valuable lesson.
Win your
don't
bets.
Make a stupid bet.
Listen, but he should have taught his
is
kid
this
another
going
lesson.
Yet? Oh.
Should have taught his kid another lesson, which was, you know what? I'm a grown up. What's a fucking bet? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you bet somebody money, you got
paid. You pay the money.
You got paid. But if you say, hey, man, I'll blow you if. And it happens, then you just go, I'm a blowing you. Pick something else.
Even if it's opposite sex, same sex, opposite sex, whatever, I still say, all right. If, like you said, if you got down, if you got there, you lost a bet. This is what we're talking about. Like Robert Kelly, Luis Gomez lost a bet. I'm assuming Luis lost.
Yeah. And I hope it was something more drastic. Yeah.
if that's the win.
And I hope it wasn't like a game of rock, scissors, paper. You know what I mean? I hope it was something more substantial. Hey, if I lose this, I'll blow you. Rock.
Right.
Shit. Like, I hope it was something more substantial.
Not just like, you know, a bet over the basketball draft or something. I can't imagine.
But still, in order to do that.
To get on your knees in front of a crowd of people. And like you say, both parties, Robert Kelly.
Equal blame.
Gomez.
Because if I'm Robert Kelly, I may or may not take my dick out. Right?
Okay.
He gets down on his knees. If I take my dick out and he's still on his knees and ready to go, I tell him, hey, dude, totally kidding. You definitely
got it.
Don't have to blow me.
Yeah. Okay.
As a matter of fact,
you went there.
I would prefer that you don't. If we're really getting down to the nitty gritty, I would prefer because you're my buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
So like we're gonna be friends, I think, after
I
this.
Hope.
But if you're my buddy,
they might be
who
closer
blew
now.
Me. And the people who watched it. Okay?
How does his wife, Roberts, ever?
What about Luis Gomez's wife?
I don't know if Luis is married.
He's got a kid.
He's got a kid, but he was dating Kim Congdon. I don't know if they're still together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know what their deal is. I know he's not married. I'll say that.
But like...
But Robert's married. Happily. So now Lewis comes over for a barbecue.
But let's, let's even go back to just the kids.
Okay.
So for me, like, okay. So I know Lewis is like, I'm teaching my kids that a bet's a bet. Yeah, you should also teach your kid.
Never renege on a bet.
Yeah.
All right.
That's not, not because I think he's a daughter. You should also teach your kids that, hey, don't blow people when you lose a bet. Just say, I'm not going to pay that bet. Like, that's okay. People would understand.
Or don't bet that option. Pick something else.
Yeah.
Getting kicked in the nuts.
There's still a ton of weird things that you could do to somebody. You know, there was a... Okay.
Okay, here's my guest host, the great Steve Simone.
Hey, buddy.
Come on in. And we have Josh Wolf in studio. This is very exciting.
We're talking about...
Great set. I was watching you for a moment.
Steve Simone, we're talking
killing
about...
Killing it in the main room.
It was
I love your t-shirt.
I love your t-shirt. Guys, it's the Comedy Store podcast. My guest co-host is the great Steve Simone.
Yeah, I can't believe that I'm doing something Ingram normally does.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how to do
it. What it is.
He's
is the
so
polar
funny.
Opposite.
Yeah.
Is I'm bringing positivity
I'm
in trying. Here for the moment.
Yeah.
And then we have Josh Wolf. Yay.
Oh, you got double positive today.
Double positive. You know what? This is what I need.
Hey, Josh.
As long as it was blocking me, that's a win for everybody.
Do I have to start over now? Because it's... Okay, quiet back there. I'm just kidding.
I mean, this guy.
I did see the big water bottle, and I thought about, but I
didn't know. I don't know.
I'm such a water bottle person that I was like, yeah,
I
whatever.
Like that you still say water.
Water?
Oh, shit. Water.
How was your set?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
The main room's packed. It's fun.
It's great.
Holiday.
Sebastian smashed.
Really?
Yeah, and I had to follow him. I was all nervous.
Dude, you rode his wave.
Cause
I didn't know that, but you were killing when I just was in there.
Last night, and generally I don't come down just to watch.
Okay.
But last night, I saw a lineup, and the lineup went Sebastian, D'Elia, Theo Von, Joey Diaz. And I was
insane.
Like, I'm coming down.
Yep.
I'm coming down.
It's
sometimes
crazy.
I do that where I'm a comedy fan first.
Yeah.
That's why I love this place. And there's certain times where I'm like, I'm not even going to try to park in the lot. I'm going to either Uber over
I'll walk halfway.
And then
I've done it.
Walk halfway? Why only halfway?
Meaning park somewhere away
and then park down on Fairfax. Or
yeah.
Because it's incredible. Like,
so good. And you know what? Because the
Joey destroyed last night. Diaz.
I was just
with
him in Ohio.
I saw him in OR.
OR, yeah. He's super. You know, I've known him for.
Of course.
Ever. And to see.
I think that's how we know him through you.
Maybe.
Something
I mean,
we first
started coming around here together.
Because
you were
from
here,
Seattle, right?
Yeah, but you were
here before him.
I was here before him.
Yes.
Yeah. But like to see how he started, like I have a picture of him on stage at the Comedy Underground. He can't be more than 220 pounds in a three-piece suit.
Wow.
I love
doing his stand-up.
And this
vest, jacket. Pants.
In Seattle or Colorado?
In Seattle.
Because I know he did both.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I remember the open mics with him and Brody.
I love that you wore his shirt.
And to watch
a young Brody.
Well, and a young, and by the way, a young Steve.
Steve. Did
he go by Steve then?
That's how I've always known him. I still called him Steve. I've told you the story about when he changed his name,
right? Please.
No, it's, please.
I'm tell you story. Okay, so he got off stage after bombing at an open mic, like only Brody can bomb.
What was it like? What year is this? Yeah, what year is it? What's his material? What's his look?
So I guess it's probably 95, 96 feels about right.
Okay,
and 95 because 96 he and I both left. So maybe 94. So first of all. He would just go up with jokes, and the jokes were never
real jokes, like jokes.
Jokes, yeah, not like the non-jokes we knew him to tell, right?
Did he have his cadence then?
Kind of.
Okay.
But he was scared of his cadence, and he was scared of that person. But I remember the first time I saw him snap on stage.
Yes.
And I had never seen him get laughs like this before. And he snapped, and he was like, listen, people. Do you know how hard it is as a single man? I've had anxiety all day. Do you know how hard it is as a single man to shave your own back? And then he goes, I've got trouble spots. And he lifted up his back.
Sure enough,
there were four spots that were overgrown because he just couldn't get to them, right? So as comics, you know we're fucking dying, right? Dying. But the crowd was like, what are we looking at?
He's a maniac on stage.
He started talking about, probably heard him talk about shaving his back.
Of course.
So that's when he started to bring in the shaving his back. And so there was one time I told you when he brought that homeless clown on stage.
Because the Comedy Store podcast, we didn't know that.
Okay.
They don't seem real. These stories.
The day he changed his name, he bombed only the way Brody could. And
do you remember any of those first generation Brody jokes?
I don't.
That's a terrific...
Remember the jokes. I barely remember my own. Right. You know what I mean?
I get
But
it.
They were similar to what... They were not too far from just the facts.
Just off a little bit.
Just off a little bit.
And I'm imagining
trying
his
to punch
look,
it more.
Was he more...
Oh, he had
like,
such good hair.
Yeah, yeah. Good, yeah. Hair.
Good
and,
hair.
Like, I'm imagining him, for whatever reason, like, wearing Gap clothes
little
with a
prepper.
Shirt.
Yep.
You know, preppier.
Tucked in.
Tucked in.
Yep, yep,
yeah.
Yep.
I remember him coming here and trying to showcase early 90s.
Not good hair, shirt tucked in, and he got off stage one night after just eating shit, and he was like, "Steve Brody isn't funny." And I go, "You're funny, man." He goes, "No, yeah." He goes, "You know who's funny?" I go, "Who?" And he said, "Brody Stevens." I said, "Who's that?" And he said, "You'll see tomorrow."
Oh, wow.
And he came down as the guy you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, we did a podcast once, he and I, at my house. It's the only podcast that I never released.
Okay.
For Why? A lot, because he snapped a little bit in a way that I said to him, because during the podcast, I could feel his energy shifting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
At one point I had said to him, "Hey, do you ever get confused where Steve and Brody blur a line, like where Steve ends and where Brody begins?" And he was like, "I don't remember Steve that much."
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't really remember how to be Steve.
Right.
But the podcast, he just snapped. And on the way out the door, I go, "Listen, man, I've known you a long time. And this podcast would get about 8 million downloads. But I'm going to give you 2 days to think about if you want that out there." Yeah. I said, "I know you're all about honesty and openness about who you are and what your illness
always
is.
So open about it."
But it was... It was a different... I had never seen that, like, this part. And I've known him a long time.
Yeah.
And he called me the next day. He was like, "Do you have to put that out?" I said, "No, I don't have to
You're
put that out."
Very nice of you.
No,
yeah.
no. I would want that. We would all do that for each other.
Of course.
Right, right, right.
Of course.
But okay, maybe my favorite story ever. So it was me, Joe Diaz, Brody Stevens, and a guy named Gavin Boyd, mm-hmm. who I'm still friends with Gavin. Gavin, I've known for...
And I don't remember who I heard talk about him, but I've heard...
He used to come down around here.
Okay.
He used to come down around here.
Okay.
And so we were in Seattle, and I think we need to get to Olympia. And we were in Brody's car. And Brody was like, "It's an hour and 10 minutes. And Joey was like, "It's 45 minutes.
Naturally.
And Brody was like...
He was always speeded up.
Oh,
he was
Brody.
Always a little more speeded up than the rest of us.
Brody goes, no, it's hour. And Joey goes, "Let me drive." So... Joey's jumping curbs.
Yeah,
he's going the wrong way down one-way streets.
Easy in La Jolla.
But we got down there in about 45, 50 minutes.
Wow.
Brody jumps out of the car, slams the door, because he was in the back seat freaking out the whole fucking ride. Slams the door, and he goes, "I do not live my life this way."
It takes a moment.
Yeah.
I love it.
"I do not live my life this way." He was so
mad. Oh, yeah.
Mad. But you know...
And he gets like that. He always got like that. Like, he would get...
Was he going for a laugh when he said that, though?
But you know the in-between? You know the in-between of his mad?
Yes.
Where he was mad, but also going for the laugh?
Yes.
Yeah, right. You're not sure if it's...
Like, everything became art. Everything was about the moment with Brody.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know.
I mean, that's the perfect line. Like, if that was a scene in a movie, slammed, I
come
cannot
on.
Live my life.
Come on.
Way.
It was so good. I mean, and the fact that Joey was driving, and I feel so lucky to have started with them, because they both taught me so much just from watching their evolution.
Well, I would say they're both geniuses from different approaches to stand-up.
Sure.
Like, Brody created this almost magical, surreal thing with his comedy where it was part completely honest but also part character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never knew when Brody was being serious.
None of us did.
And then Joey is just completely like, I'm going to just tell you what happened.
But I would say that, yes, their material is polar opposite, but how they found that is the same. So how they found it was... They both were never funny until they went off script and went off on stage.
Right.
Until they touched the moment.
And Joey would tell jokes.
Yeah.
But you know when he gets mad,
sure.
His face.
It's the greatest thing ever. It's a force of nature.
Right. And so And so he's, you could see him slowly start to find that.
Yeah. Oh,
and
man.
Just be like, oh, so really I just need to be me and this anger and this edge. And just because what I say and how I say it is funny, but I'm also so likable when I do it. It's yes. crazy, right?
Yeah, because yes. there was something so, no matter what Brody would flip out or whatever, mm-hmm. you would be like, but I like this guy.
Yeah, that's where Joey yeah. and Brody
and
are,
Joey
are very
too.
Similar
yeah,
that way.
I know
I wasn't afraid of them.
No.
It was so enjoyable.
And honest and in the moment and
yes.
present
yeah.
and letting you in. And when they went off, when their inhibitions and when that little, whatever sensor they started comedy with,
yeah.
when that went away and they just became them,
yeah.
they were funnier Ooh. Than any of us. When
yeah,
they started
incredible.
Writing material and tried to, like Joey, I remember Joey used to end his set on a street joke.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And, but when Joe found Joe, yo, look, I would tell you this, 15 minutes, not an hour, 15 minutes. And you want, if you're going to tell me at their peak, at the best 15 minutes, who blows up that room more than anybody? And I'll tell you, Joe Diaz.
Joey Diaz, yeah.
yeah.
It's a force of nature.
For 15 minutes. Now, his hour isn't nonstop like that. But for and his hour's great, I'm not saying, but
of course.
For 15 minutes.
It's like watching a hurricane.
Yeah, and especially yeah. in that room.
Because
not
he's
as much
cramped down the OR.
The OR, 15 minutes in there, 15 minutes of him at peak Joe Diaz.
Remember his birthday show when it's Joe Diaz and it's all his fans?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I said, Joe, you got to do an hour in there. You got to do your next
special in
there.
Yeah.
Because he erupts. He feels so comfortable
yeah.
in there. He loved that room so loves that room so much, but worked so hard to get in it
mm-hmm.
that if you could feel it when he's on stage.
But yeah. yeah, plus I also feel like he's like fireworks.
Yeah.
Where it's like you got to see them in person.
Right.
Like there's same thing with Brody.
Yeah.
Like when you were in the room with Brody, when you're in the room with Joey Diaz, you're part of it. It's kinetic, it's real, it's the greatest thing.
Yeah. Brody, I remember that podcast I had called First Five.
No.
Me and my friend Lexi had this podcast. This was years ago, like maybe like 8-9 years ago. And we wanted to do the first 5 minutes you ever wrote or performed of stand-up. So you had to come on and do your first 5 minutes. We used to do a show about it at the Improv.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago. But anyway, well, 8-9 years ago. Yeah. So we had... I asked Brody, I go, hey, Brody, because Lexi was in love with him, my co-host, Lexi Shoemaker, and she was in love with him. She's like, if you get Brody, it'll be everything. So
If you get Brody, I'll have Luis Gomez blow Robert Kelly. Did you see that
it's
video?
It's a bet. We'll get into that in a
what?
Second.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. We'll get it. Why would you distract him like that?
You're not I thought he had serious. Seen it.
It's bad.
Okay, we'll get
okay,
to
we'll
it.
Get
I don't
want to
even
want to. One second.
I don't need, there's certain things I don't need to know.
First of all, he just put a stole on, okay? That's what you did to this poor Catholic child. I'm sorry, Steve.
I don't want to. Yeah.
Well, this is what happened. So we asked Brody, and that, like I said, it was 8-9 years ago. He's still in it.
His face is still a little, it's okay, buddy. All right.
This was Brody's response. I go, look, we talk about your first 5 minutes of stand-up, and he goes, I'm still doing that.
I
was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, shit, so we can't. But now let's get to...
I do want to ask both of you, because I remember the first joke I ever told on stage.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I don't remember the first five. I remember the first joke. I remember...
Some people have video. Ari had video. Dice had video.
My mom probably has
video.
And
it's all on our podcast.
That's
incredible. We just didn't have any followers, so nobody paid attention.
You should re-release
yeah, they're still on. They're still on. Tiffany Haddish was on it.
You should definitely.
Leslie Jones did
Biggest
it.
Biggest stars in Hollywood now.
It was amazing, yeah.
My first joke, I was 15. My parents had to drive me. It was an open mic in Northampton, Massachusetts at a place called the Iron Horse.
Cool parents.
That's hilarious.
And because my dad asked me, what do you want to do, man? And I go, you know, I saw this stand-up on TV, and I'd like to try it.
So cool.
And he said, they both said, I think you'll be really good.
Can you imagine?
We'll give you a ride. Just, you know, let us know what it's going to be.
Were they Stepford parents? Like, how did you?
You know what's crazy
is
that my parents never once, the only time my dad ever questioned my choice of what to do is when I was a single dad. I had the three kids in
Amazing.
One room, right?
It's incredible.
And
always my favorite person because of that.
Yes.
My dad walked into the apartment and, you know, the one of those tiny little apartments where the kitchen was a living room, was a dining room.
Yeah.
And there was toys all over the place and like sleeping bags. and, you know, dishes and shit. First thing he walked in, he looks at me and he goes, you know, you're about this close to being Puerto Rican.
Okay. That's a good guy. I get it.
He went for the laugh.
Yeah, he went for the laugh. And he said, listen, your mom and I have always supported your dream. We think it's fantastic. We love how hard you've been pursuing it. You are now a single parent in charge of three kids.
Right.
He said to me, when does your dream become selfish? You at some point.
That's a great question.
I had never thought of that question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
He said at some point, these kids, he said they're young enough now where it doesn't matter.
Right.
But at some point, they're going to need stuff. They're going to want stuff.
Yeah.
At what point are you going to say to yourself, it's not just me anymore?
Right. Right.
And it was that's the only time. And that's, to me, that wasn't
like
even.
Like an aha moment. Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
But it wasn't even him telling me you shouldn't do it or quit. He was just saying, be aware.
It's a good dad.
That you could
right.
do some damage here.
Yeah.
If you don't. You know,
straighten up.
Get out of this one room pretty soon. Yeah.
How much longer did it take for your career to start to take off after that?
Well, you know what's interesting is I had a long conversation with myself that night.
Okay.
And so I started to weigh, and there's basically what it came down to was two things. One, I wasn't trained to get a job that was really going to change my situation
that much.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Makes sense.
Not that much. What am I going to do? Two, I was like, I'm going to give it a couple more years. And he said, call me and let me know. And he said, why? And I said, you know, I just don't want them. I don't think it's terrible for them to see me trying and not quitting. I don't think it's terrible for them to realize that you can still struggle and be happy. Now, I'm not saying they want that for their whole life, but
I think they're great lessons.
For them,
I think they're lessons nobody gets taught about persistence, giving up, and then also like what's really important. I'm sure there was more love in that one room
than
any of these mansions in Bel Air.
Well,
honey, Lupita will be at your game this year. You know what I mean? Like,
well, we had to figure out how to have fun without money.
Yeah.
And that is sometimes
that's
the
real
most
fun.
Fun.
That's
the
real most
fun. Fun.
You know what I, know, but that we couldn't afford a, like any to go to like amusement parks or whatever. So I used to put them in the trunk of my Saturn. And
no.
I would drive around empty parking lots at night with them in the trunk.
They must have loved
it. Oh, it was so...
Now they're Mexican? What do you do with...
I didn't smuggle them into Ralph's.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just...
smuggle.
yeah. But it was... I agree with you. Like, they figured out how to have fun
without
needing stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm realizing that if you have each other, you have everything.
That's
what
how
a
I
ride
grew up.
Your kids went on. That's how I grew up too.
That's how we all grew up, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know a whole lot of comics who grew up with a ton of money.
Oh, I do, but yeah,
a bunch of them.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, not a ton, but like, to me, you guys had money.
Sure.
Suburbs. He lived in the suburbs.
Yeah.
That's like I would think he was a wealthy.
Where did you grow up?
South Philly.
Oh, not the suburbs.
No.
Dude, you know what's really funny, though?
The houses in a three-bedroom row home.
But those cost more money than the houses
now.
We grew up in. Like, things change. Like, the real estate, it's so crazy.
My mom
it's so expensive
just,
there.
10 kids?
Yeah.
Your parents?
Single parent.
Oh, she didn't have cable, or?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I remember having Prism at one point, but it was stolen. Anyway.
No, just splice it. Splice it.
You steal from the neighbor's house. What? But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, we had fun. There was never, we couldn't afford a lot of things.
Yeah.
Even like school trips, things like that were like cut down. The older half had a completely different life.
Older half
parents,
of your...
My brothers and sisters.
Right.
Because my parents were together. Yeah.
Okay.
So like sometimes Karen will be like, I went to an Elvis concert. And I'm like, what? I never went to a concert.
Are you old
money.
Bitch?
Right.
How old are you? Shit, an Elvis concert. Did you watch Babe Ruth hit
eight.
Play? The fuck, did you chop trees now with Paul Bunyan too? What the fuck?
She was 8 years old. How crazy is that?
God damn, an Elvis concert.
That's spoiled.
Jimmy Dorsey sang her a song, Sweet 16.
we listened to Frankie Valli records
Shut
at
up,
her party.
Who listens to you? Pretty baby. If she hears this, she'll kill me. She'll kill me.
Dude, the funniest Rodney Dangerfield joke I ever heard was he was talking about his mother-in-law. I'll tell you, she was old. She was so old, George Washington got off on her birthday. To this day, it's
my God, I hope she don't know how to listen to this.
I didn't say that about her. I just
quoted Rodney. I'm kidding.
Your sister's not even watching talkies yet.
No, you're right. She's still watching. Oh my God, now I'm joining in. I'm in so much trouble. She'll kick the shit out of all three of us.
She doesn't know what a podcast
is.
Is
that text with her son? The talkies is the funniest thing. Go ask Nucky Thompson for a job.
I'm so happy about it.
Dude, that guy with half a face is still to this day my favorite person in the history of
drama. Oh my God. Nucky
I love you.
Thompson.
Thank you for that.
Wow.
Nucky Thompson. Anyway.
Super funny.
My mom knew him. So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, my dad bought them things. Like, yeah. He bought them things like that. Like, I never went to a concert. I don't think my dad ever bought me anything.
Do you feel like you missed out, though?
No. No, I feel like we... I don't know. It hurt them more when my parents
when they lost
lit up.
Because you never had anything.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's we didn't right. know from that. So it was like, oh, okay. Same shit. Different day.
Opposite
just have to work
me.
At the typewriter store.
Opposite. I grew up zero money. We didn't have a car, nothing, right?
Same.
Until my dad, when I was a sophomore in high school, my dad decided to get a job. And my mom had just been the only one working.
Okay.
And so... for whatever reasons, you know, my dad, as he's gotten older, you know, he never really was an I love you guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many things that I go look back, but like I was always really mad at him and he was not an I love you guy. But as I look back, you know what he did? He showed up at everything. That was, he just was not an emotional guy.
Yeah.
But it didn't register.
People say I love you in different ways.
Yeah. He was at everything.
Yeah.
He was in those stands. He was in the auditorium. He was there.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And that I didn't register with me until like, wow. That now when I was a parent, I was like, that took a lot. For him to be there. Now, he didn't have a job, so he better fucking be there. when I was a sophomore, it was the opposite for me. We finally got a car. And like my older brothers were out of the house, and it was now not only did we make more money, but I was the only one there.
So
that's great.
Many other brothers?
I have three older brothers.
Okay.
So my people have farted in my mouth for a long time.
Trust me.
The youngest is always the best. Yeah. Like my younger brother's the
winner.
Have to be the winner in your family, right?
It's interesting. You learn to persevere.
Yeah, my younger brother.
That
the
still
winner.
Happens. Yeah. Do you people ever grow out of that? I mean, I'm just asking.
Farting in the mouth?
Yeah.
No, but I'll pit up more of a fight now. You know, and they're a little older than me.
Did we break balls? Like when I get together, like we'll laugh like this.
My brother's a monster.
It's the greatest. There's nothing better than family laughs.
Yeah.
And that's what I was picking up like when you were talking about the little apartment and stuff. Like I didn't realize how much I had until I've been this lonely dude in LA without anybody where I'm like, what I wouldn't do.
To
have somebody to argue over what we're going to get on a pizza.
Right.
And then just sit in and watch a basketball game.
Yeah.
Like that. If we did that as kids, that's like. It was great because everybody was there.
Yes.
We're like, we're getting pizza. You know, I brought a pizza tonight and I just brought it here because I didn't have anybody. shared with. I swear to God. Because I wanted the joy. Like, one of my favorite things in life is carrying that pizza box to make sure it doesn't get messed up. And the people.
If anybody's like wondering, should I get into comedy?
No, do not. It's very lonely.
Listen, we're like the lonely guy. You remember that Steve Martin movie? We used to watch that on a loop, man, when he would pretend to dance with people. Charles Grodin. I can't take naps because then I wake up and I realize I'm me again.
Yeah. You know what, though?
Fucking brilliant, man. That's
the thing about being a comic, though, is even if when you meet a comic that you've never even met before,
yeah,
there is a kindred spirit.
Immediate connection.
Yeah.
Because you know what they've been through.
Yep.
you know what it takes to go through that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if there are comics in a room and it's a party, I'm gravitating towards the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But real comics. Like, today I met a comic and she was like, oh, yeah, I used to do stand-up. And I'm like, what? And then she was like, yeah, like, all the time at the Comedy Store. And I'm like, what? And me and Annie Letterman were just looking at her like, when? Yeah. Like, where? Like, how? And she was like, you know, that's once in a while in the belly room. And I was like, just go in the pool.
Yeah.
Never talk to us
again. Yeah.
We don't like you. Yeah. We were so angry. Like, you can't be a sometimer around.
It's so interesting.
But it is interesting when you do, like, when you're at a party or whatever, like, especially if I'm at another club sometimes and I see certain comics that I just connect with, I just gravitate toward. That's cool. Yeah, just go here, because like you said, you just feel lonely, you feel no one gets you, but around comics, they'll get you because they know how fucked up things are.
Well, they know how fucked up they are.
Yeah.
So, and then also, like,
I get the pizza
thing.
I haven't ordered a pizza
though.
In years.
Yeah, a full pie? It just tastes better.
No idea.
I brought it up here.
I get a slice and I walk by myself from Mulberry Street.
I bet the gold makes the chocolate taste terrible. Just see me laying in bed tomorrow holding a spark.
With my fucking Uncle Sam hat on.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yeah.
America.
Yeah, you just with one single firecracker off your balcony. That's it.
Were you firecracker kids? Did you guys play?
I was.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Philadelphia. We have to be.
We were firecracker kids, but we did light shit on fire.
Okay.
Does
I
that
like
count?
Where you're going.
Breaking the law.
Definitely lit, like, any kind of bug. Like, you remember when there used to be caterpillars on trees?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? In the Northeast, especially.
Why do
that's
you
an East
say,
Coast
do you
thing.
Remember?
Because I don't know. It's not a thing anymore.
They're still back there.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. Because my friend just put a video up of him playing with a caterpillar.
We used to just put them all
like,
in
oh
a pile
God,
and
those.
Light those motherfuckers
okay.
on fire.
Inappropriate.
Is that inappropriate? Because we were
how old were you? Like 11?
Yeah.
That age?
Oh, that's supposed. We used to cut worms.
What do you think? I was 25?
Somebody told
yesterday.
Us. Somebody told us if you cut the worm in half, they just grow back. So we wanted to see if that was real. So now there's all these dead worms. So we just cut.
Well, this one's not. Well, let's try another one.
No, guess this isn't. This is a weird one.
Let's try it with your penis. What?
I do want to know what your first jokes were.
Oh, I think I gravitated toward making fun of my dad, typewriter store stuff, because that was, or maybe Catholic school. I can't remember which one. I can remember two jokes.
Where was it?
Where I first did it?
Yeah.
In the belly room.
Your first time doing stand-up was here?
Oh, yeah. First, the West Side
Theater?
Yeah, because Adam Barnhart and Cynthia Levin.
Adam Barnhart.
Two of my favorite people.
Oh, my God.
Adam was, because when I first started stand-up, first of all, I'm a waitress all these years.
Yeah, you knew everybody.
All I know is comics.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, who would I not be most embarrassed to go up in front of?
Yeah.
But I was so close with them because Adam ran a show here for years.
Upstairs?
Yeah. And Cynthia, and he still does, I believe. But Cynthia was here
does
all the
he?
Time. I think he's still here every other Sunday. Yeah,
Does he still have those insane eyes where you look at him, you're like,
it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
dude.
So fucking funny. He's too honest. It's
yes.
like the best. I'm
always
obsessed with him.
So
yeah.
honest.
So he. Anyway, so I was like, I was really close with him as a waitress and really close with Cynthia because Cynthia used to date Freddie Soto. So that's how I knew them first. Like, mm-hmm. they were my first kind of friends. So they were doing 2 half-hours each at the West Side Theater, and they let me open. So I just told stories about my dad's typewriter store, I think, when he told me to swab the deck, which I didn't know what that meant. So I had to call my mom at work.
How many years had you been at the Comedy Store, though, before you started to do stand-up?
12 years.
Yeah, so you
then
had
I
such a...
Then I left for a year and a half and came back as a comic. So that's mental patient 101.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you also have seen... So what year did you start here?
Waitressing, 93.
So...
Everybody.
Yeah.
You think of it every... I mean...
That's incredible.
The most... The greatest, the worst, the medium, the... the ones you love that never go anywhere.
I was going to ask you about that. Was there anybody in since you got here that you were like, they should have made it and they didn't?
Steve Pearl was one of my favorite comics I first started. Yeah. I used to pee my pants. Yeah. Everyone fights me on this, but me and Jeff Chetty were the only two that were obsessed.
You know who else? Wow.
But there's so many.
AJ Jamal,
Mike Ricca. Like, these were the funniest guys when I started. AJ was hilarious. I believe AJ has a cartoon or something.
Does he? AJ Jamal used to make me laugh.
He makes money.
Oh, yeah. He
good.
I
saw him destroy on a Tuesday once.
Dude, wreck.
Wreck.
Unbelievable.
Wreck.
I would scream laughing at AJ Jamal. One of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, I remember when also, you know, I got to tell you, I remember when Galern first started coming out.
We were obsessed with Galern. I'm still obsessed with Galern.
He's great.
I was like, this dude is a joke machine.
A month ago upstairs in the OR, screaming, falling out of the bucket seats.
And by the way, he has zero fucks to give.
Which is amazing.
We'll say, and always has been like
father,
that.
Father.
We'll say
teacher.
Whatever about, and you don't expect that filth to come out of his mouth. And it's just so funny because it just drips, very slowly drips right out.
So I could be whatever I want.
Yeah.
I could be president. Hold on a second.
Yeah. No. By the way, I was talking to him on the phone once and he was teaching. So Jason teaches, right? He's in class. He's teaching.
He was in the classroom on the phone with you?
Okay, because we were...
It's like special ed.
They were taking a test.
Okay.
And he was like, what's going on? What's going on, Wolfie? I always call him Wolfie. What's going on, Wolfie? I go, we were developing a show together. We're talking about the show. And he goes, hold on a second. And then he goes, Maria, how many times did I tell you you can't bring your baby to class? I know it's a test, but you got to find a babysitter. Okay. Yeah, everybody, no kids. Sorry about that. I'm like,
was he being serious?
Yeah,
that was a joke.
No, I go. Do you need to go? He's like, nah, this happens every day.
How come you guys don't do that as a
his
show?
His whole cartoon was based
on
it.
That's what it was. That's what the cartoon was.
It was all based on it.
Yeah,
and nobody made that.
Hey, Mr. G.
They
it was
tried,
my favorite.
They tried
animated
a couple
it.
Times.
They a couple
I think for
times.
2 or 3 years with my buddies Brad and Tom.
Yeah, and then I got Lauren Peltz's husband involved.
Yeah,
Danny
my
Fishman.
Lauren Peltz.
You have Josh Wolfs on? Did you tell him I have a crush on him? I'm like, no, you haven't fully transitioned yet. So I didn't tell him. She gets so mad when I say that. Yeah. I'm a girl. I'm a girl. Really? You got to tell your Adam's apple that. You got
and your mustache.
Mustache? She had a beard.
I know.
Freddie Soto used to break her balls.
I remember that shit.
One time she was when I was dating Andrew. We were all at Andrew's house fucking around. Right? I think I had Max and Dylan, but Freddie and, you know, Lauren, we're all just hanging out. And Andrew calls, he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, Lauren and Freddie are here. And he's like, oh, what's Freddie doing? I said, well, Lauren's teaching him how to shave. Yeah. Andrew almost threw up. He was like, are you serious?
By the way, I mean, if we're talking about people who would have or should have been huge, tragedy aside, Freddie Soto was. So for me, Freddie was the first one of us who got it.
Yeah.
Who figured it. He was the first one of us where it clicked. And it clicked earlier for him than it did for all of us. Mm. And he was the first one of us where I remember looking at him and he was just talking about his life.
Yep. Just his family.
Just his family. And as soon as he made his dad's face and voice, the whole, you were like, oh, this is a stick of dynamite ready to go off. Did you ever see him?
Oh, yeah.
And so he, to me, was, if you haven't seen any Freddie Soto on YouTube.
I tried to post it on his birthday, but this year I didn't. It just hurt too much still. It's weird.
He's such a nice man.
Get so mad that it's
such a nice man. But like his stand-up was so next level early on.
Early.
He had figured that out way earlier than
and
most
he was almost like, it's almost like the rest of comedy in general, not just comedians on their own personal journey, but he was like ahead of his time just in terms of how he approached stand-up, where it was more one-man show, storytelling.
Yeah, he loved
that. Like when
he
would do that thing with his drunk grandfather or whatever, saying how much he loved him.
Give me some money.
He did.
I want a hamburger.
Yeah,
like, it was just so silly. It's like, I give you $100. Like, it was just the dumbest, like,
but he went
things
real life.
That he would make him say.
Yeah. But he went real life before most of us went real life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I guess from what I saw, yeah. So,
yeah.
Like, I was watching comics. Everybody had a different approach. And that's what I love. People that would always come in and try new things. Like, it wasn't always the same. When you see comics doing the same 20 minutes, 15 minutes over and over again, it's infuriating.
Yeah.
So there was like Freddie, there was Ricca. They would always try new shit. Even like Kim Tavares, she would always. Sherry Shepherd.
Yo,
Aretha Jones.
What was her name?
Cynthia Levin.
No,
like,
my short Hispanic woman, big.
Marilyn
Martinez.
Loved her.
Marilyn, she was a sex operator. Oh. She was like, I wet my pussy
because
I spilled a Coke on my cat.
Yeah. She was also one of the nicest women.
Sweetheart.
Sweetest. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But sweetheart. She would wreck. There were some real.
Mitzi would go crazy watching her. She was in a muumuu on the stage in the main room.
Yes.
Mitzi would throw herself around the room.
When she passed me, this is
Mitzi.
She. Yes.
Yeah.
So you just, she was in that chair. And you just wanted to see the finger.
Of course.
The finger calling you over.
The long
right?
yellow nail.
Yeah. And you just wanted to see the finger. And not only that, by the way, if you were on stage after somebody that she called over to the chair, your set was
done.
Fucked.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You almost hoped that the person in front of you shit
the
bed.
Yeah, they just got the Carson seat
because then
pulled to the couch.
She's not listening anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So she calls me over. She sits me down and she goes, you're really funny. And I said, thank you. And she said, and you're handsome like a young Steve Guttenberg. And I was like, thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
Is that
Mahoney?
How so much better
great
looking.
Is that Steve Guttenberg?
Yeah, so much better looking than him.
Dude, honest to God, I worked. When I was 18, when I was 18 years old, I worked in this pizzeria, and this guy, Cristofaro, was from Sicily, and he was very intimidating.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, like good looking.
You know, he was just intimidating.
As
he had
I
a short
my pants
fuse.
Down.
I know that was weird.
He had a short fuse, and like he
Italian,
would get into
huh?
it. But then he goes like he would just start laughing at me or something like, and I'm trying. I was getting nervous around him and stuff, and he would just start laughing. And then he was like, Stefano, you know who you remind me of? You know who you look like? I finally put my finger on it, and I'm like, waiting for it.
Yeah.
I'm 18-year-old kid, like, who? He was
confidence
like,
is here.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Bruce Willis.
It's going to be Sly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes,
Schwarzenegger.
Donnie DeVito. I'm 18 years old. He goes,
but
you look like a young Donnie DeVito.
Not even Danny DeVito. His brother, Donnie.
Donnie.
He doesn't sell carpets.
You're in the DeVito family, but not the famous one.
Not in front of the camera.
Why do people get the
Danny
wrong
DeVito?
Thing?
At least that's you got Gutenberg.
Good. Yeah.
Please.
Danny DeVito's a tough one.
Oh, bro. Especially when you're a teenager and you're like.
Yeah.
You were Stallone.
Yeah, right? It's got to be something good, right? Yeah, and what if you were you like, which part? Just the whole thing. The whole.
Ugh.
Dude, how many times did you have to showcase for Mitzi?
Yeah.
Because I think I was here the night you got passed. Because I remember you and
sure
Joey
was.
Diaz talking right at this back door, like right sort of there.
Feels like I think three times.
I remember a few. I remember you being here.
Yeah.
How about being passed as a non-paid? Did you ever get that, or were you just getting on other shows here?
You mean before she passed me?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't getting on other shows.
Maybe it was
Kathy Lewis.
Out. Okay.
I was like, I'm on Kathy's show, a bunch of Kathy's shows. And then Mitzi, when she said, I want you to be a doorman, I took it, because I didn't know any better, as an insult.
Okay.
And then because I was like, well, I thought I'm a, you know, you come in young and you're like, why do I got
to
work
like,
the fuck?
No, I'm supposed to get a deal
yeah,
next
what do I,
week.
Why,
right?
Fucking, why am I working? And so
and
I talked to... Of all people, this is not the guy to go to for advice, but at the time I didn't know any better. I went to Wheels Paris.
Dave, I have to call you back.
Let me call the president of show business.
Yeah, exactly.
What the fuck?
President Bush, I gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah, I invented comedy. And what?
Adorable.
Jesus. Adorable? Oh,
yeah. We just called him Coach. When he told me that, I went.
No, this was.
He called. What do you mean?
This is what happened. He said he played football for Florida State.
I remember
State.
That. Yeah.
He told you that?
I remember him talking. By the way, Ralphie May also told me he had 3 scholarship offers, but he got bad knees. I'm like, did you eat the knees? Is that what you mean, bad knees? You ate bad knees? You ate too many bad knees? Or
bad knees? Larry Bad Knees?
Yeah.
But so he said he played for Florida State. So Freddie was a big college ball, and they don't watch college ball, and was obsessed and knew a lot about it. At the time, they were living in Crest Hill together. Yeah. And so Freddie was like, oh, you played for Florida State. That's amazing. What year was that? What was the coach's name? Kind of like just... Just nice, not accusatory, not anything other than, oh shit, what year were you on this team?
Right.
You know? And he goes, we just called him Coach.
So what was his advice to you as a young comic?
It actually,
to just call him Coach?
What he told me actually made sense.
He gave me a lot of good advice, actually.
And it wasn't the advice as a comic, but
good.
He said
he
to me,
good.
He's a good guy.
Yes.
He said to me,
he just bullshits a lot.
This is where you learn. You learn by watching the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
She puts people there who she wants them to sit and learn.
Yes.
And soak it in.
Yes.
And so don't take it as an insult. It's a compliment.
Yes, because I was going to say, when you brought up the point when somebody, if Mitzi called somebody over, and now you had to follow that and she's not paying attention to you, whoever was showcasing. But in Mitzi's eyes, it's like, well, if you're good, you're going to come back. I'm going to see you again. This takes forever.
Yeah.
When I was her assistant, she told me it took 25 years to become great. And I remember I was like 3 years in, and I'm like, I'm great now.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking
like,
about,
listen,
lady? Hey, Doc, what kind of meds is she on? Like 25 years, but now I agree with her.
Yeah, me too.
Like if you look at all the people that are killing it now, they've all put 25 years in.
Yeah.
There's no shortcuts.
That's the problem. That's the problem with people like a Wheels. They always looked for the shortcuts, even though they saw that it isn't a shortcut.
No.
They saw what was going on.
It's the same people who, when you talk about the people who do the same 15 minutes,
you're
not getting better. You're not getting better, and you're a slave to the laugh.
Right.
Because you
that's
know
a good
those,
way to put it.
You know those 15 minutes.
You never take any chances outside
and
of that.
We all know the only way to get great is to fail. The only way to get great is to try things, new things. And the scary thing for us as comics is, look, we're not musicians. We don't get to go into the recording studio for 3 months and make it perfect before anyone hears it.
Right.
We have to do it in front of you.
Yep.
Yep.
And there's a certain amount of courage that takes, especially, I would say, honestly, not for somebody top of the game. So not for like a Chappelle or a Rogan or there are people that are going to like.
Again, 25 years in.
Right.
Easily.
But somebody who's kind of well-known, right, who gets on this stage and has to try new material, and there are people coming in from out of town.
Yep.
And if they suck, those people who saw them for the first time are never seeing them again.
Yeah.
They're never, I saw him, he
That's
sucked.
That's why I try to do
That's
chunks
it.
Of
you
it.
What?
That's what they say. I saw him. He sucked.
Right.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like that's why I won't just go, all right, I'm just going to go brand new. Ari does that sometimes.
Yeah.
Ari will just be like, all new, 100%.
Yeah. I don't care.
I try to go like tonight.
Weave it in.
I weaved it in. I probably did.
I'm a weaver.
Yeah. I'm a believer.
Well, I'm a weaver just because I'm still like, I don't want to lose my, because God forbid if Adam walks in. Like he watched my set the other night and I'm like, fuck. And he goes, oh, good set. And I was like, oh, thank God. But you never know. You know, it could be, I still feel nervous. Like I'm going to get fired.
But we all do.
I guess so. Yeah. You live on that edge.
I think we all do. I mean,
there's some people that don't. Some people just don't give a
true.
Shit.
I still have that
fear
feeling also that when my agent says, hey, do you want to take this gig? I always have that feeling like this could be the last gig I ever get.
Oh, yeah.
Take it.
Yes.
Take that fucking gig.
Yes.
I still do.
Yep.
He's like, are you sure? I'm like, take it. He's like, you're working 8 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it.
I get like that.
Interesting.
I'll say, and I'm like, oh.
I got it. I got it because there's somebody younger, funnier, hungrier.
Well, I'm
right
also like, I need
you.
The money. So I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I don't want to do it. But I'm at that point now where there's certain stuff I've been saying no to. And if that feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then if it's like, and like enough money to be where I'm like, all right, I'm because I don't know.
Yeah,
if I, that this could be the last offer I ever get.
I still have that mentality. Mm-hmm. I still have the working for chicken fingers mentality.
Yeah.
Yes. When I saw Seinfeld, the documentary.
I love that. Working for chicken
fingers. Yeah, I do.
I remember when Seinfeld and Leno got together for that comedian documentary like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And Leno said that he never spent any of his Tonight Show money. As an open mic comic watching that, I'm like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
But now 20 years into comedy, I'm like, oh, yeah, I wouldn't spend that money either.
Got it. Yeah.
I'd go, I'm going to live off my stand-up, and now I have retirement just in case everybody takes everything from me.
Oh, yeah, because it could all fall apart.
In this business, it can, too.
Yeah, but the one great thing about what we do is you can't fire us from this.
Mm.
You can't fire me from being a stand-up.
Right.
Now, I may not always be able to yes, and I may not always be able to play the rooms that I'm playing
and
now
the money,
and all that stuff.
Our money's the only money that goes down versus up.
Yeah, it's true.
No matter what.
Do you see Tom Segura, what he tweeted out a couple weeks ago?
Mm-mm.
That MC and feature money hasn't gone up into the clubs in 25 years.
That's right. Like, they still give you, most headliners.
That's crazy.
Bump it up, but it's true. They pay you $100.
$100 to feature, which means you could be 20 years in the game, dedicated your whole life to stand up, and there's somebody that got hired that day that never waited on a table in their life. And they're going to bring drinks to the table of your show, and they're going to walk with more money than you did.
That's right.
That is bananas.
Walking in off the street. I've never cocktailed before. Just pull out your boobies and put drinks on the table.
Hey.
She'll make 300.
Takes a little more than that, but yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, it could happen.
But even worse, somebody who's been doing stand-up for 2 years, because the clubs in general, look, if the guy has been there for 2 years says, I'll do the set, I'll do it for $75 a set.
Right.
Yep.
The clubs really don't care about the MC in the feature. They just want them not to be offensive, walk people, and just get to the headliner.
And give our things for next week, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some people view it as a business and some people view it as an art. Like, that's why I love Wendy at Comedy Works.
Oh, she's terrific.
She's the greatest.
Yeah.
Because she cares so much. Her shows are always awesome.
Colleen. In Omaha, Nebraska, at the Funny Bone.
I don't know.
I've heard of her.
Colleen is so good.
Puts together good shows
and
cares.
She cares. She cares. She cares. But you're right. But you know what? I like Dorfman in Nashville. I like the guys who.
Those guys are cool.
Yep. I like.
And they care about comedy as well. Like,
you have
Chris DePetta, those guys.
I think anybody that really stays in the business, you have to.
I like Matt and Joel, who do the improvs. Mm-hmm. And I like. What are the people
Back
who do
off.
the House of Comedy? People?
Oh, Tammy and Rick Bronson.
Best. The Bronsons are the greatest.
So good.
So happy I've got into them.
But you know,
I mean, I'm
awesome.
In their little.
Because Tammy was like, hey.
She's awesome.
I'm going to let you. She goes, you're funny. Nobody knows who you are yet. We're
going to
build it.
Yes.
Yeah, Wendy told me the same thing. I like women that run comedy clubs, to be honest with you.
Well, I met Wendy years ago with Dice, and she was like, you're hilarious. Why don't you? But and then I'm like, so I'm still trying to get in her good graces. But
she's great.
Yeah, soon, I hope. I love her.
She reminds me of Mitzi.
Yeah, because she just
knows.
Talking to her, she knew her shit, and she knew about comics. See, that's another thing. Like, my history is so much comedy.
Yeah.
Like, whatever I get into a conversation about comedy, it's like, it could go really deep because I've been here so goddamn long. But technically, I've only been doing stand-up a little over 12 years.
But
so,
you soaked... So much.
Of course.
Air, right?
It's like Mitzi would say to me, like, well, you went to the best college, honey.
Did you?
Like, oh, yeah.
Do you feel like you,
but
you started further ahead than you would have just by watching?
No, I think when you start late is how you, because I had so much life experience, no matter what.
But didn't
you
not,
talked about your material right out of the gate. You weren't doing open mic or material. You're already talking about your dad and swabbing the deck.
Right.
Like,
you knew the bad habits.
Yes.
And what not to do.
I could catch myself falling into those, and I was like, oh, that's why they fall into them. So I had to learn those lessons
really
of what
cool.
those guys had to go, or what those comics went through on stage every night, because we had comics that would do the same 15 minutes. And then those ones we loved where we'd run in the room like, oh, so-and-so's on. We have to go watch because, you know, Holtzman's on. Let's go watch what
Holtzman.
Fucking nightmare or not nightmare is going to happen.
Holtzman.
So, unbelievable.
He's awesome.
But always Joe Diaz, you know, so you wanted to run in and see those guys. But then, like, I remember the few people that would do, there was this one guy always did his same 15 minutes, and nobody was here to go on after him. And the manager, I was like, you know, just stretch him. And the manager looked at me and he's like, what are you going to do? Let him start over? And I was like, if that happens, let's see if it happens.
Way, I've done that.
Start over?
Okay.
Shut up.
So I was.
What does that even mean?
I was 23. I was in New York, upstate. I had left college. I was
How long are you doing stand up?
Wait.
Okay.
So I need to get money to get from New York to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have
That's
enough dough.
A lot of money.
I'm trying to make some money. I'm scraping up money wherever I can. I'm eating lunch at a bar. I've been out putting job applications. And behind the bar, there's an elevated stage. You know those bars that have, right? And there's a stool. And I say to the guy, I go, what do you do up here? And he goes, well, we usually play like
music.
And I go, oh. And he goes, yeah, but our guy who plays, he said, he was like, he just left for L.A. So we don't have anybody.
Was it
right
Tommy?
And <Let's> say.
How do they? How great. Do you ever think about that in life? You have to feel your way. Like, how great would it be, though? Like, do you ever think?
It would just be shit.
Do you ever sometimes think, though, that God runs out of extras in your life? Yeah. Like, that could have been Tommy, and then 15
you never
years
know.
Later, you're like, there's
He's
that
here.
Guy. There's
I'm
that
dead.
News van again.
So good. Channel 6.
Yeah, with a fanatic got hit by the news van. Cover the kid's eyes. The fanatic's bleeding out. He's bleeding out.
He's bleeding green. Yeah. We thought it was red, but it's green.
Fly. Eagles fly. He bled green.
Anyway, sorry. That was amazing. So you have to get to New York to Seattle.
So I say to the guy, and he goes, we do acoustic. And I go, oh. I go, how much does that pay? And he goes, $250.
Whoa.
I said, have you found anybody? And he said, no. And he said, do you play guitar? Which I did not. I said, yeah.
Oh.
And he said,
God.
When can you start? Now, I played a little guitar, like I had learned to play 3 songs in college. And he goes, when can you start? I go, how long is the show? And he goes, 2 hours. And I was like, yeah, I could start in 3 weeks. And he goes, okay. I figure in 3 weeks, this was the plan. You ready?
Cue Rocky montage music.
You ready with the plan? The plan was to, and this was pre-Google, where I could just, and I knew 3 chords, C, D, and G. So I couldn't just Google C, D, G songs. Mm-hmm. I had to just try to figure them out. And so I write them down. So I would, or get some sheet music, right? So this was my plan.
This is something I could never do.
This
yes.
was, my plan was to learn 8 songs, 10 max. I was going to start 5 minutes late. I was going to end 5 minutes early. And I was going to practice my stand-up in between every song.
Okay.
I was going to tell stories.
Okay.
Right? Because this is what I've always liked to do is tell stories, right? So I get there. I got my sheet music and I got my guitar. And 3 weeks later, and I have tentatively learned 10 songs. But honestly, 5 of them I know pretty well by heart. 5, I need the music. And so I get up there and I'm walking in and he goes, hey, what's with the paper? I go, this is the songs. He goes, no. Clean stage. We don't have anything up there.
Oh, boy.
And I went, oh, no. And he goes, no.
I'm already getting uncomfortable.
He goes, no.
Yeah, my stomach.
He goes, no paper. And I go, oh, okay. He goes, just a stool and the plug-in and the mic. What? And I go, okay. So I get up there and I start talking.
I'm scared for you.
I go, how's everybody doing tonight? Hey, my name's Josh, and you know, funny thing about this, and he goes, whoa. He goes,
no funny things.
No talking. Your background, no talking. Just play. I just need you to play. Please don't talk between the songs. Just play and let people drink, and you're just background. So I get 2 hours and 5 songs.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
So I open with Freebird. You know.
It's a long song.
As you do. I get through my first 5.
Isn't that usually a closer?
Well, okay. You ready for this? I wanted to leave with my best foot forward. I get
open strong.
Open strong. 5 songs, and then I just start Freebird again. Now, listen. So nobody noticed the second time. I could see people, because they weren't really paying attention to me.
Right.
And it was transient, so you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could see some people like, By the third time through, everybody had started to catch up. And they started to look at me, and the guy who hired me looked at me, and I just shrugged my shoulders like, this is what I got, right? By the fourth time through, people were screaming out, do you take suggestions? I'm like, what do you got? And they were like, Freebird. I'm like, I know that one. And I would play it. But it ended up being the
joke.
A joke. And I would play the five songs. People were singing along to all the songs at the end.
It's a happy ending.
So I say to the guy.
So happy.
I say to the guy, I go, great show, right? I'm psyched.
Yeah.
This is going to be a regular gig. I go, great show, right? He goes, no, that was the worst show I've ever had here. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you played the same five songs for 2 hours and not well. And I was like, well. I go, but everybody had a good time. He goes, I didn't. And I go, okay. I go, well, I thought it'd be funny. He goes, not funny. And he handed me $100. I go, it's supposed to be $250. He goes, you owe me $150 for that. We're playing the same five songs.
$100 is still pretty good.
$100, dude. And you know what?
In the 90s, $100.
One of my favorite stories, because it taught me on stage.
You owe me $150.
Dude, it taught me on stage, though. I'm feeling it along with you, where you're like, but $250.
Here's what it is.
My dream.
You remember the first time you bombed?
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember, like, I'll never recover from this?
Yeah.
And you remember you woke up the next day and you were like, oh.
I'm awake.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
That's what that did to me.
Yeah.
It was pretty humiliating.
Mm-hmm.
But I woke up the next day like, that's a great story, and here I am.
That's awesome.
That, do you know what I mean? Awesome. Like
you got through it.
What else?
That's a great feeling.
Yeah.
That's when you start going, okay,
yeah,
this is how life works.
Yeah.
I got knocked down, but guess what? I bombed so bad once in front of 1,000 people. I had an out-of-body experience.
Like,
Fourth and B in San Diego, they used to do Friday night comedy, paper the rooms, like 800 people would get in there for free.
You never did that one?
No, I don't know it.
800 drunk cholos.
It was a raucous.
I would love that.
Raucous crowd.
I got booed off stage.
Yeah.
I see myself bombing.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I always feel like I had done bad before and I had bombed before, but never booed off stage. There are levels.
I did.
You've been booed off stage?
Now, did you have this thought that somebody was just going to stand up and say, get him, and everybody was going to run towards you? Because that's
what I was thinking.
Like, I was like, this is as bad as it gets. People are standing up. I'm like, they're going to start throwing stuff. I'm like, this is terrible.
I didn't panic like that. I mean, I panicked.
Where were you? Where was yours?
Westbury Music Fair in the Round.
Bombing in the Round.
We'll be back to Bombing in the Round.
When you have people hating you from the side.
Now you're talking about her sister's soundtrack.
That's right. Back to Karen. Because my big
her
sister.
Her horse is here. I believe my ride's here. Pa Ingles.
Wait.
My big sister came to see this, by the way. Because this was me 3 months into comedy, opening for Dice. In Westbury, Long Island, at the music fair.
3 months into comedy?
I had done 2 gigs in California. We did the Wells Fargo Center, which is 2,500 people.
Wow.
Yeah. 3 months in. Who do I think I am? And then in Reading, 1,000 people. Great. We were on VH1 at the time. So the show, like, people knew me from show.
Right.
So that's what Dice said. He goes, dude, first of all, he came to see me do what I thought was a one-woman show in the belly room, because that's what I thought I was doing in the beginning. And then he saw it, and he's like, it's stand-up, stupid. So he made me, because he's a gentleman.
Yeah.
And he was like, just let's go on the road and promote the VH1 show. So I was like, okay. And I'm like, who am I? That's why I had to take Adam Barnhart's class. He helped me so much.
Right.
Because it was awful. I had a month to get this together to go out on the road.
How long was your set?
So I had 8 minutes.
When did they start booing?
In New York, because in LA it went fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when did they start booing in New York?
In New York, as soon as I came out and said, I'm from Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Seconds into it. So it's packed, right? And Andrew was like, you got to start dressing sexy on stage, show them your tough attitude, wear short shorts. I'm like, short shorts? What? But I'm an idiot and believed him because I thought he knew something about costuming.
Right.
So I wore short shorts, high boots, a cute little top, and I come out and I'm all South Philly, whatever. And I said Philadelphia, and they were like, fuck Philly, fuck the Eagles. And I'm like, what? Then they're yelling. I'm trying to do my little bit about this and that. And I'm like, oh, shit, no. These motherfuckers, right? And you know, I'm a hood rat, like my brain. I'm a street fighter. So I was like, the fuck? And then somebody goes, I heard somebody yell, where's Dice? And I was like, he's up my ass. You want to tickle his feet? Because I just
and they loved it.
Lost it. A few people. The rest of them were like, boo, fuck you. The Eagles stink. Fill
seven.
It, la, la, la.
7 minutes.
Yeah. Sounds like
it was like that. But it was so bad. I started sweating.
Yeah.
That my bra slid down.
No.
It was on my stomach.
That much sweat?
It was so bad. Then I remember locking eyes, like seeing my sister who drove 2.5 hours up from South Philly.
Did she have the broken look in her eyes Frank Pantangeli's brother when he was about to be called
no,
on the witness stand?
It was worse than that. This is what she did. She literally threw her hands up and was like, what do you want to do? Fight this whole fucking room?
Oh, that's great.
And my sister is a hardcore, so she was just like, I'll start writing the section.
That's great.
Yeah.
But that's how she looked at me, like, what do you want to do?
That's why family's the
and
best.
And I was like, fuck.
Family is the best.
And then it made me giggle. I got off stage, and Andrew was like, fuck them. I'm not going out there. How dare they boo you? And I'm like, Andrew, they're here to see you,
yeah.
Not me. And then I was like all strong for him. I'm like, they love you. Go out there. Yeah. They're going to have a blast. And I'm upstairs chewing on a revolver 30 yeah. seconds later. Yeah. But I was like, oh my God. I called my mom. I locked myself in the bathroom. I called my mom. I was hysterical crying. My brother Tommy got on the phone. He's like, calm down. They're both talking to me. They're like, yeah. Relax. This is how it happens.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but it's humiliating.
But once you get through it, you're like, okay, yeah. This is just part of it. Like you learned it that night. I learned it my night. You learned it that you just
I learned.
Oh.
Who were you there with when you were doing it?
I don't even remember.
Did you guys get booed the next night? Just ask him for a friend.
No.
That for sure happened.
I just got my car and left.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the craziest thing is there was a guy, the stage manager, going, get off. Get off. He goes, I'll still pay you. Just get off.
Oh, shit.
And when my soul came back into my body and I realized nobody was going to beat me up, I really started to enjoy it. I was like, I don't give a shit and whatever. And the guy's like, dude, I'll just pay you because they were going to do an intermission before. But then I was backstage kind of laughing about it. Like, mm-hmm. So it really happens because I had bombed before, but never that bad.
Right.
But there was somebody that when the stage manager came back with his check, he goes, dude, he goes, this guy wants you to give him a call. He thought you were fucking funny. And it was like one of those like skateboarder surf company.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I never called.
And his name was Tony Hawk.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. And that man's name. There's not a statue.
Not a plaque.
Yeah. But if that were to happen to me now and I had a bad sentence, somebody gave me a business card afterward, I'd be like,
I would call.
I'll totally
call.
Yeah. But I was so embarrassed. Like I got through it. But after that, I just started to do exactly what I wanted to do on stage because I was like, it's not that bad.
Well, it just,
it's not that bad.
You're right. And then it's like it puts that fight in you like, okay, that'll never happen again. Mm-hmm. Even though it happened the next night, I kept saying it'll never happen
yeah.
again. But I did better the next night, because that's the thing. Like I went out into the audience after I calmed down. I was like, let me look for my sister or whatever.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see the theater. I'd never seen it. I mean, I just heard it. So I was like, let me walk around. And some guy walked past me and he goes, oh, hey, you were great. Sorry, we had to boo you because we really wanted Dice to come out.
Yeah.
I was like, you motherfucker.
It's interesting, though.
If they see you after, they're nice to you.
Yeah, there's also a psychology to
yeah,
it,
but
too.
But I'm like, well, then why did you do
it's
that
a gang
to a
mentality.
Person?
It is.
Gang yeah. mentality.
Well, like,
initiation.
I remember one
yeah.
doing terrible. I remember being doing terrible. I didn't get booed off stage, but it was terrible. And I ran into somebody that was at that show like a year later. They were like, you were great. And I'm like, no, I wasn't. I remember. But then a year later, they still knew my bits.
But you know what else, yeah. though?
And
like,
I went, okay, there's just a psychology to audiences.
Even
we
now,
hear it a certain
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and even now. Look, I don't bomb the way I used to.
Got it.
But there are still sets where I'm like, that wasn't great.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
oh, sure.
That wasn't great. And so
whenever I think I'm getting it, I'm like, I'm about to blow up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll go bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just won't connect. And I'm like, here's something from 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever try every trick?
Yep.
You go through your bag and you're like, you're on your last trick. You're like,
dude, I'll walk off stage now.
Nothing
though.
Worked.
I go, you know what? This isn't my crowd. Like, if I get the douchey people, I go, all right, it's not my crowd. I don't care.
For me, this is where, see, I tell long stories, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So there are times up here in this room where I'll know I'm trying this. There's no way to break it up. This is a 13-minute story.
You got to put those fire exits in there, though. I learned that.
13-minute story.
You have to have fire exits where you're like, you know what? I got to spin out of it and to get into this.
But for me,
fire exits.
For me, the only way for me to get that 13-minute story better is to just fucking do it.
Yeah, sit in it.
And so I honestly would rather do it here than in front of the crowd that paid to see me.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Because this is like,
don't you think it would almost?
Yeah. I look at this the way that Mitzi kind of set it up. Like, it's a gym. It's a gym. Mm-hmm. It's a gym. Come work out.
But don't you think your fans know who you are, love what you do, and it's going to be pretty good regardless?
Yes. So, but I'll get a false sense. I'll get a false sense of what's funny in front of them. So if I tell a 13-minute story in front of them, they're going to laugh.
Feel it.
Yeah.
They're going to laugh in parts because they know me, which may not mean that joke is that well. They just know me.
Gotcha. So you want to make sure you're giving them the best version.
I want to make this place is going to make sure this place does not allow me shortcuts.
Yeah. Right.
The OR is not filled with people who want to see me. The main room is not there with people who want to see me. So I have to earn my jokes here.
Absolutely.
Right? And so that, to me, that's why I don't want to do it in front of my crowd, because I've already earned that trust from them. So they're going to be more forgiving.
Yeah.
And there are some things that they know that from my personality, because they know my stand-up, that they're going to laugh at.
Yeah. Like, Stanhope was here, and I said, oh, are you going on? Because I love Doug Stanhope. Yeah. He's great. And he goes, no. And I go, why? And he goes, you think I'm going to go up in the original room and lose my confidence? That's not my crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
I don't know who they came to see.
Yeah.
What if they don't like me?
I've
but
still
I love lose my confidence
one of my
after
favorite,
30 years in
I know.
The business.
Yep. And being one of the greatest
legend.
Ever.
Okay.
Legend.
One of my favorite jokes ever that he ever told. You know, I used to run this room down the street called at the Union. Remember the Union?
Yeah, of course. Oh, I forgot about that.
And to me, it was a fucking killer room. It was never air conditioned. So it was hot.
Okay.
And it was just one of those places where nobody cared. The energy was fucking great. I saw Rogan in that room. I've never seen a roof get blown like that. But Stanhope did a joke one night where he said, I told my girlfriend that I wanted to titty fuck her. And she said, how are you going to make that feel good for me? And he said, I'll tell you what, right before I'm about to come, I'll stop punching you in the face.
I can't. I hate him.
Yo, when he said that, I was like, come on, everybody. Funniest joke ever said out loud. I'll stop punching you in the face.
Fuck.
Oh, my God.
Yo.
I was obsessed.
Were you part of Stanhope's crew? No. He told a story on Ari's show. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, about hanging out at the Coach and Horses with Ralphie May. And I'm like, because I'm a comedy
there a
fan.
I couple times, but I know this story, and I wasn't there that night.
Well,
but I used
saying,
to hang a Coach and Horses.
What I find fascinating is that, like, I still find it fascinating that you're in Seattle, you're four kids that just want to start doing comedy. You're nowhere near LA, you're nowhere near New York, and it's Joey Diaz and Brody Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
And then there's two young comics hanging out at the Coach and Horses getting wasted, and it's Ralphie May and Doug Stanhope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that stuff to me as a comedy fan
is
fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
But I think it's important to have a good crew.
Yes.
This is a hard thing
to team
do
sport.
On
it took
your
me
own.
Forever to realize
because
it's a team
long
sport.
Time, too.
Yep.
Yeah, but also as young comics,
you need the support.
And the crew. Look, if you're not asking your friends, hey, let's write some jokes or let's punch some shit up, especially when you're younger, like, that's because those people see jokes in a different way than you do. And as a young comedian, you need to learn that there are different ways to get to the joke.
I wouldn't have survived 19 years. September, it'll be 19 years in LA. Would not have survived without Ren Azizi and Ari.
It just
wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way I could have, like, that Comedy Store, thank God for Mitzi creating this place and letting me be a part of it even though it took me 8 years to get past as a comic.
Yeah.
Just banging my head in
but
the walls.
But some of our best friends.
They were the best friends I made. And like, there were times where I didn't have money for food and Freddie Soto would take me to eat or Rogan would take me to eat or Ari would be like, I just booked a commercial. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had Chinese food? And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know, 2 years?
Ren is easier. Would be like, I'm the headliner. I'll take you out. And we'd be like,
dude. Dude, the car I drive, Ren is easy, gave me.
That's amazing.
He was just like, here, just take it.
Yeah. I there's such a... And nothing showed the camaraderie of comedy more than, to me, than the memorial here for Brody.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, like, so far-reaching, but there was such a common bond in that room. Not just Brody, but comedy.
Yeah.
Liking Brody made me feel like I was a comedian. Like, I remember him crippling me with laughter and noticing it was just the comedians that he was really killing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I went... Oh, I get comedy. Yeah. I get Brody. I get comedy.
He was so fucking funny.
I don't think he loved the fact that he made comics laugh that much, but he didn't make the general public laugh as much.
Yeah, that was a big insecurity of his. Like,
it was.
I remember coming back from Minnesota, and he goes, where were you? And it was a Monday night. We were signing up upstairs. And he goes, I go, oh, I was in Minnesota. And he goes, do you think they would get me? This was in January.
He was so insecure about that.
And I go, Brody, they would love you.
Yeah.
You have to get in with these people. If you want me to push, I will. I just got in with them, but I'll push.
But he's like, okay. So I also had a chance to know Mitch Hedberg a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And so Mitch told me once.
Mitch, I didn't know at all.
He told me once he was I think the term he used was 15%er. And I would call Brody the same thing. And I go, what do you mean by that? And he said, if I walk into a crowd and people don't, like, it's a show that people don't know I'm going to be on, I'm going to get 15% of the crowd are going to get me. 85% of the crowd are going to hate me. Mm. Now I just need to get those 15% together.
Yep.
That was his thing. I know that
That's
not everybody's
exactly
going to get me,
yeah,
but I need to get everybody who gets me together. Same thing with Brody. Brody, look, nobody crushed like he did, but nobody bombed like he did. There was no
famous Holtzman,
right?
Yeah.
There was no. I kind of like that guy. You're either I fucking love this guy, or that's the worst comedy I've ever seen. If you read his comments
they
from his special, that's what
don't
it was.
Get it?
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't get it.
They don't get me at all. And he would just run off.
Yeah, because
arms crossed, negative.
He turned facts into jokes. His GPA.
Yeah, I was like, it's a statement. He's making a statement.
Yes.
It's amazing. And people are floored by
it. Dude, I remember, because it's just so funny, your crew, your Seattle crew, two of the hardest times I've ever laughed in the original room were the first time I saw Brody, and Brody's murdering. The audience, everybody's into it.
Yeah.
And it was probably 15, 16 years ago. And everybody that was, all the waitresses, all the comic, we're all in the back, but the audience kind of gets it. And it was the Comedy Store 10, 15 years ago, smaller audience. But it was magic in the room, and Brody's in the middle of killing, and he just started trying to start another joke, and it wouldn't really land hard, and then he was getting it, and he was like, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And we all work. You could hear a pin drop. He goes, I got some really bad news this week. And now that everybody's leaning in, he goes, my grandfather was just diagnosed with Down syndrome. Like that. And it was like, ba-boom!
My favorite joke.
That, I remember the first time I saw that. And then I remember one of the hardest times I ever left was in Joey Diaz within the last year. Joey, it's always been my favorite here. He's always just crushed.
Yeah.
I've always just got him. I remember seeing him
even
go
when
up
he was
in the
doing
room.
The Cuban egg roll.
Oh,
the
and
greatest.
The fucking
babysitter.
And taking off his jean jacket and throwing it to the ground when Danny would let him go up late in the main room and just playing Black Sabbath. Like, we'll always love Joey, but when he... In the picture when he was like, did that joke. First time I heard him say it, he was like, you don't see me catching the flu? It's because I eat my wife's ass and I went swimming in the Hudson.
Hudson, yeah.
Dude, it was like.
I went swimming
in the Hudson. Hudson. Yeah. He said, I'm good.
It was like watching Nazis walk into a trap and the GIs just had explosives all along the OR was shaking like Tower 2, like right before it fell. Like, I've never seen that room rock like that. No.
It's very rare to see it that hard like that. And
he's the one that does it
top,
consistently.
Yep. You're absolutely right. I was just going to say that he's one of the top guys.
I've never seen anybody rock that room, but I saw Earthquake do it once because I had to follow him during a show.
Yeah.
Always funny.
What'd you say? How'd you follow him?
Oh, it was terrible. It was. I had
You were
nothing.
Riding a wave that time.
I got wiped out by the wave.
You know who else can do it? What's his name? Donnell Rawlings.
Yeah.
He rocks that OR.
Does he?
He kicks that OR's ass because I'll never forget Holtzman watching. What? He's killing. What? What am I going to do? What am I? No, they're not going to like me. What do I say?
God,
and I go, Brian,
funny.
You have to
just,
stop paying
come on.
Attention.
Yeah, dude, Holtzman, just do your thing, man.
And then he would go dig a hole.
Do you remember when he did that? Remember when that plane, there was a plane that crashed, and I forget which plane it was, but it crashed in the ocean, and he started doing jokes about why he doesn't think it's so bad to go steal the money out of those people's wallets. Because the money's going to go to waste. You know what I mean? Like, who else is going to spend that money?
Well, who's going to take it?
Yeah.
Holtzman, you're going to save it for the EMT?
I was managing this club during 9/11.
Still feel bad about that.
And Mitzi told me specifically, Brian is not allowed to go on.
Because
is that true?
Because of Columbine. Because of Columbine, when that happened, he went on and he goes, you know, everybody's upset. There was kids in the building. There's kids. Yeah, there were bad kids. They weren't putting their heads down at nap time. They were drinking the chemicals under the sink. The place was furious. Everybody was furious.
Yeah.
We got 50 letters saying this is awful. He can't do this.
Can't let Brian on stage.
Oh,
okay.
My.
Meanwhile, she put wow on the marquee. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That was all she put.
For what?
After 9/11.
Wow?
It just said wow for like a week.
A week. And then she let him go on. And the Holtzman's first set in the original room, post 9/11, where he talked about just throwing Arab American comedians into a cage.
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
Hey, there's some of them here. They seem like good kids. Amit Amid.
Amit Amid.
Arkan Kader. He seems like a nice kid, but you can't trust him. Get the pen. They have better careers than me. In the pen! Get in the cage! The roof!
Get the fuck out!
The walls were like people, like it was part, people couldn't believe
Amid,
it.
Amid
was so fucking great.
Oh, my
yeah,
God,
you're late.
So
I gotta go
I'm
do my
like,
set.
I don't know where. They're not coming
set.
Down.
I love you guys.
They're looking
have a great
for him.
Set.
Oh, they're saying you got 10 minutes.
Still
getting okay,
up.
We'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up right now. So let
Dude, you are the man.
Josh, thank you
thank
so
you,
much
thank you.
For joining us.
Thank
you're the best.
So many laughs.
So many laughs. Go kill it upstairs. No, I love him.
He's the best.
Yeah, that I remember that. I also remember him going on after the stupid sexual harassment stuff, the Harvey Weinstein. And that night of it came out, and for, you know, Adam already had it booked. We didn't know that was going to come out.
The best was when we were young comics, and as soon as, like, you could talk to Mr. Holtzman, and you're like, okay. Like, I remember Harris Pete.
I love Mr. Holtzman. So,
I remember Harris Pete talking to me for the first time. He's like, I never ask anybody the name unless they've been here for 2 years.
Right.
Right? So then when Harris started to get it, and then Holtzman, and we, you know, we're all fans. We're all door guy. We loved him. He's the guy. And we're like, I wonder what his material was like during the OJ thing. And just him explaining his version. Where he was like, yeah, you know, it was kind of like he rashed for 2,000 yards. And, this, you know, she was just another coke-whore blonde.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Pretty
you could
harsh.
Just see the joke.
So great. Holtzman always gets right on the news. Just kidding.
He's great.
I'm up on things. I know what's going on. When I had him as my guest co-host a couple weeks ago, if you're like ever feeling down, just watch that because I have no control. And we got Brian Scolaro, who we're supposed to be interviewing. Holtzman's here and he brought his brother Jay.
Oh,
for
that's
no reason.
So great.
So Scolaro is like, who are you to the brother? Do you do comedy? And Jay's saying nothing. And Holtzman's like, that's my brother, brother Jay. Brother Jay's here. And then I'm trying to like interview Scolaro. Holtzman's here. I turn to look at him and he's staring at me. And I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, I never knew you had such hazel eyes.
Dude, I love his Instagram videos. Today, I'm going to have the tandoori chicken. I'm going to put
a
little spice on it.
Did you see the firework one today?
No.
Thank God it's Wednesday. Tomorrow is 4th of July. Let's try to not lose any digits. You know, keep your fingers intact. Right here's a sparkler. One of the most dangerous sparklers of them all. You could burn your eyebrows off. You don't want to use this. Like, and he's just going through every firework. M80, make sure you know how to use this
one. Does he have them?
Oh, yeah. In the video. I'm
dying. I can't wait to see it.
Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank
for being
you. This was the best.
And congrats on your album. Just
thank you.
Killing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And so it's still number one?
It's not number one anymore. But,
it's
you know
still,
what was crazy?
It was
so
up
many
there
people
for a
bought,
while.
Yeah. So many people bought that one that my old one started to sell.
Oh, that's great, Steve.
Yeah.
See, I love that. See, you're one of the funniest. I remember when you were a manager and I thought, oh, no, they're not going to let him be a comic. It scared me.
Yeah.
Which is why it
I got out of it, but Mitzi knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she always liked you.
Yeah. Well, she tortured me.
That's what she
does. But like
does.
When I saw the Shanling thing, what, his letters
you're
home,
like,
I'm like,
oh,
yeah, come on, man.
I loved
her.
I loved when he would write Shanling in the video when he would write home.
I hate her. So funny. Like,
I just love that.
She's so mean.
Anytime
Tough
he
love.
Saw her. That he would just be like, oh, still defeated up until.
Dude, one of my favorite memories was taking her to the doctor and he was
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. We did a doctor run, too, with
talked,
him.
They talked for like 3-4 hours.
Oh, I didn't have that long, but I
Dude,
remember
I just
him
sat
being
there
like.
The whole time. He was like, what? She's here? I was like, yeah. He's like.
But right here in the hallway before he was going to do the Emmys, host the Emmys, mm-hmm. he was just looking in the main room, like kind of like nervous. And then Mitzi walked up and he went, oh, like his, I saw his defeat.
Dude, I remember
like,
a very famous comic at the peak of their powers who wasn't here often, was going, had planned on going on in the OR. And then somebody said, yeah, well, we got to get just, Mitzi needs her period. And he was like, what? Mitzi's here? And they're like, yeah, she's in her chair. She's going to be happy to see. And he was like, I don't need to go on.
I'll wait.
Yeah, I'm not going to say who it was, but.
Oh, please do. We have a disclaimer.
Nope.
All right.
It's the best.
He won't give it up. That's Philly through and through, people.
Yep.
You have anything to plug? We didn't even ask Josh Wolf. Go to Josh Wolf. I'm assuming joshwolf.com for his.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at life. Josh, you want to come in and promote your stuff? I always let Josh promote his
He's
stuff.
The greatest.
He's the sweetest guy in the world. Do you have dates coming up?
You know what? I'm starting a whole new charity thing with all things comedy, and it's just called HelpSteveHelp.com.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm in Kansas City this weekend.
Nice.
The comedy club. You have to do it. I'll give him your info because he's cool as shit, Dustin.
Cool.
And I'm excited about that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Happy 4th of July.
Yeah, Virginia Beach, 10th to the 14th, and the Comedy Marathon for Virginia Beach Strong at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone is to help the families, the shooting that happened out there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's pretty, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But
please go support that if you're out there.
And then if there's any questions, concerns that about sound or anything that I can help with, please inbox me at Josh96.
Are you really
going to
take that?
Yes, I will.
Okay, guys, you heard him.
I will.
If you don't like the sound,
get it off their plates, send it my
way. I'm in the dark, whatever it is, send them to him.
And that way I just block you. It works out perfect. I mean, I'll help with what I can.
You piece of shit. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Support live comedy. Rate and subscribe. Bye.